So yeah, thanks for agreeing to join, and I'm really happy to be talking to Nikos from Workable. Nikos, I guess the first thing that makes sense is for you to quickly tell us what Workable is in a really short summary.
Yeah, thanks for having me first. Workable is a SaaS software aimed at small and medium businesses. What we do is solve everything around the hiring process. From the moment you have to make a job description to the moment you put an offer letter to someone, we manage everything from careers pages, collecting your applicants, syndicating your jobs and advertising them, getting your talent pool, and letting you collaborate with your colleagues to discuss, review candidates, manage interviews, etc. The field is typically called applicant tracking systems, which is a term I really don't like at all. It's very old-fashioned. We prefer to call it like a place to do hiring.
Okay. So it's really managing that whole process end-to-end and giving a complete solution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How did you guys start? What's the kind of founding story?
Well, the company started 3 years ago, but the product has been on the market for about 2 years. We started in Greece, not a very likely place to start that kind of thing. But right now it has grown to be a very international company. Our base in the United States is Boston, where I've moved here recently, and a lot of our people are here. In terms of growth, right now we have 3,300 customers, business customers, all over the world. 60% of them are in the United States. We are over 5 million ARR and growing at 15% month on month. So it's been doing reasonably well. Recently, we raised a round of $27 million led by Boulderton and 83 North.
Yeah.
And basically we're, in that phase, you know SaaS, so you can understand what I mean.
In the
phase we like to scale the business.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good sounding numbers in there. So it sounds like things are going pretty well for you guys. At the beginning, if you look back to when you were building the product, was it clear to you from the beginning that the SaaS business model made sense for this kind of product, or did you know from the beginning how you would kind of map that out and how you would price it?
To be honest with you, no, we didn't have a very clear idea of everything when we started. We were total noobs back then. But I guess that if you start a software company today, it's likely going to be a cloud software. It's likely going to be delivered with a SaaS business model. So, I don't think we consider an alternative. Now, what is special about Workable is that it targets the SMB very squarely.
Yeah.
We are not starting with the small companies with a clear intention to go massively up market, as is most common.
Yeah.
We are actually doing an SMB play. And in terms of pricing, exactly how models and metrics work, things are a little bit distorted on our end because you kind of touch the consumer side of metrics and marketing.
Sure. Yeah, I notice you guys have, I think, 5 pricing tiers on your site. Is that to really like capture the spread of the market that you're addressing, or was it always that way?
Actually, yes. We haven't changed pricing all that much. There's 2 ways to see that, either that we were right or wrong, or that we're too late to fix our pricing. I think that in most companies at our stage, it's probably the second. And it's one thing that I think about a lot.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, we don't focus too much on that aspect. When you're doing an SMB SaaS, it's more important to capture the growth, capture the customers, meet their needs,
yeah,
and worry later if you could possibly, pick up more money from the table.
Yeah, makes sense. So in terms of kind of capturing and measuring growth, I was hoping you could talk a bit about how you guys measure yourselves and what metrics are really important to you. I guess there are some that you look at every day and that you really use as an indicator for the growth of the product.
Well, obviously, all the obvious SaaS metrics that most people are looking at, from MRR, the movements of MRR. We're looking at churn a lot. I think what is also a little bit not so common, but it is common in our case, is that because we have a lot of small customers who come and go, the interpretation of churn is harder, because a lot of our smaller customers are just using it for 4 months and then 4 months later on.
Okay.
And we have a very strong reactivation component. So there's some interesting metrics like the percentage of revenue coming from reactivation, which we can only judge on the basis of the customers that have already been lost, not the customers that you have, because that's what they're relevant for.
Yeah.
So on the low end of the market, some of those metrics are, you know, you may see slight differences in interpretation. But in general, yes, we follow the metrics that, you know, I see everybody else track. I think that it's a very well-documented part of the business as well. The business model has matured. I mean, if I were starting today, I think in 2 weeks I would have figured out exactly how to monitor and run the business. Of course, with tools like yours, I could even implement it in a day.
Yeah, well, that's the goal, I guess. it's interesting that you mentioned about the level of reactivation MRR that you have. I've seen quite a lot of small businesses talk about the problem of customers coming on board for maybe perhaps just a couple of months and getting the value out of the product and then leaving again. Is that something that you would try to fix in the product, or is that not a problem for you guys because you're able to measure it and you know that they'll come back when they need your service again?
Yeah, that's the thing. If you apply the traditional enterprise SaaS thinking on a situation like that, you see a problem where there isn't one, and you try to fix it by actually forcing behaviors that do not fit the customers. That is the conclusion I have arrived. In our case, really small businesses may not be hiring all the time. They may be hiring once or twice a year. So for them to be paying subscription software all year long doesn't make sense. To lose their data and start again doesn't make sense. So one thing that they appreciate about Workable is that they can use it for 3 months, pause it, come back, find all of their data, and restart the subscription.
Yeah.
And when you look at that, and when you look at these customers saying, I'm canceling my subscription, but I'm really happy, I'll use it again, then you soon think, oh, how do I make these people stay longer? The thing you have to think about is, how do I make sure that the next time they need this, they remember who I am and they come back to me?
Yeah, yeah.
So essentially you have a, let's say, a second order marketing machine. You have some people who are in your database. They are customers, they have been customers in the past, they know who you are, they know how to use the product, and you don't want to be spamming them with emails every month saying, oh, maybe you're hiring this month, because that would be very annoying. But you somehow need to stay top of mind to them. And how do you track that? You track the reactivation as a percentage of the sleeping database that you have. Okay. And that's an interesting discussion about metrics, by the way. In the beginning, we're saying reactivation as a percentage, like churn and like upgrades and downgrades, as a percentage of the MRR that we currently have.
Yeah.
But for these guys, what's relevant is how many sleepers do you have in there, and then how do you improve it?
And I guess I'm assuming in the first place, you're capturing, at the point of churn, you're capturing that reason. Like you must be able to categorize the sleepers from the actual churn, right?
To be honest with you, shamefully, we don't. I mean, we could have easily put a little thing asking them why you left, but it's one of those things that we haven't done. You know, when you grow really fast, sure, a lot of the things that you should have done, you just don't do them because you're doing the features. But in reality, what you would like to do, I guess, is to capture that, so to understand who are the people in that category, and then market to them specifically in different ways. Relevant to the discussion with metrics, none of these things can be done if you don't appreciate how big it is for you, how important it is for you. For us, for example, it's really important. I guess for other businesses, it's not. Maybe the guys who do freemium would have something similar,
Yeah.
Not in terms of reactivation, but in terms of freemium guys paying or not paying, you know, at times.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe there's something there too. This is really interesting, actually, around actually the notion of cancelling versus pausing a subscription, because I'm assuming that if the customer is kind of leaving for the reason that they've got the value from the product, but they know they will probably come back to it at some point, maybe they're actually happy to just, you know, hit a pause button or something. There's like a semantic difference there between the two.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, even the language is important, and that not just in that, it's in everything for doing self-service software. We used to have a cancel, and people would send us email on support and say, you know, I don't want to cancel, I just want to stop for a while. And we said, you know, yeah, you can cancel and resubscribe, but this wasn't obvious. And then when we made the button say, like, pause your subscription, and we had another one for cancel, which basically did the same thing.
Yeah, so you do that then. You do have a separate pause and cancel.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to, like, delete your account or something else, it's different than just stopping it. Because then you understand, I'll find everything back. We don't have to explain or support. Yes, your data will be there, etc.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. So what would you say are the main challenges for you guys growing? Like, obviously you have based on what you've said, I guess you have a slightly higher churn rate than some SaaS yes. businesses may have. But what are the main like barriers to growth for you?
It's not so much the churn, because, you know, in the SMB you have very high logo churn, but the MRR churn is not big. In fact, we have negative net churn because the bigger accounts, you know, somebody upgrades and it's like five people who left on the smaller plans. I guess the challenge that I believe we will face, and I think that is a challenge that a lot of SaaS companies are going to be facing as the industry matures, is that in the beginning you crack acquisition economics, and then you can use your channels and your acquisition economics to grow really fast. But as you become bigger, other things enter the financial equation. And it's mostly the question of margins. At a bigger scale, the acquisition economics change. The support and maintenance economics change. You need a bigger organization. So then you have to start minding not just how much a customer costs to acquire, but also how much a customer costs to support.
Sure.
The older generation of startup businesses, the ones that have IPO'd in the past couple of years, the playbook was that you eventually go very, you know, you go directly up market, and you go to those customers who will pay so much money that will eventually cover all those costs. So it's only a challenge to grow. That's why the focus on VCs, metrics, everybody in the industries, get the acquisition economics to grow, and then you're not going to have to worry about it later.
Yeah.
But I think the second wave of SaaS, successful SaaS companies will also be looking at mid-market and smaller companies. Mm. And there, the margins are not going to be solved automatically by going up market. Then you really need to build a streamlined, highly self-service business and to be mindful of those metrics. And talking about metrics, the SaaS metrics we have are a lot about the usage and the revenue, etc. A lot of companies I see do not have very sophisticated cost allocation mechanisms inside the company to be able to attribute, you know, from salaries or fully loaded costs of customer support people and everything, and integrated with the rest of the metrics. That's one of the things I'm working on right now.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge to capture all of that, those costs, everything around the like core MRR, like acquisition costs, I guess. And that's something that I'm not sure anybody's really solved yet. Well, but yeah, would you say there is like a certain kind of tipping point where that suddenly becomes a problem or a focus for you, or is it something that you should think about from the early stage?
Look, I think what happens is that up until 5 or 10 million ARR, your main focus is, can I have scalable channels that can help me grow really fast? But when you get in that area between 5 and 10, then you know, even though you don't have it, yet you can kind of clearly see the path to 20. Maybe, you know, it's going to be a few months later, a few months earlier, but, you know you're going to get to 20. And then you start thinking that once I get to 20, I need to build, you know, a business that can credibly claim it will have margins at scale, a business that has economics that can use capital efficiently to get from 20 to 100. And if you don't think about it early, you know, you cannot think about it when you're 20, because it would be too late. So I think that your mindset starts shifting a little bit. As you approach 10, you start thinking that the next big challenge will be that. We are at that stage. We're at the stage where we're, you know, where we started to think about it this way. Maybe also because we're in the low end of the market. So if you have low price point, if your average revenue is like $100 or $200, it's much more important.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, I'm aware that I don't want to take up much more of your time, but this is really, really useful stuff. Just one more question, I guess. Based around the metric of customer lifetime value, is that something that you guys care about or monitor? There's a lot of discussion around it, but I'm interested to know who out there actually is able to estimate that and to use it.
Look, customer lifetime value is the one common metric that I don't care at all about, and I think it's misleading.
Mm.
I think it's misleading in very many ways. The most obvious one is that it's wrong. that, you know, by calculating churns, etc., you don't really capture that, because it's very difficult to capture the dynamics of upgrades and changes in the product, etc. I have done calculations with 5 different methods, including your tool. None of them look great to me. None of them actually match the reality. When I look back on 2 years of data, it's not what I see.
Mm.
So I haven't seen someone produce a formula that makes sense. There's another issue as well with customer lifetime value, and it's what I call the company lifetime value. What I mean is that when you are a VC-funded company and you operate on 18 months of runway, and your customer lifetime is really good 4 years later, you're not going to be there to see it. You have to be there to collect that money.
Yeah.
So I prefer to look at revenue per year and tune the acquisition economics to that.
Okay, so you take a fixed yearly time range for the value over a year.
That's what I do. And I know that in the end it's going to be higher, but I think that in the early stage, if you cannot have a payback of a year or maybe a year and a little extra, ideally less than a year, you know, you're just not capital efficient enough to grow fast. You need the money back.
Yeah.
And I don't care if I get the money back in 5 years, because, you know, in the venture funding world, if you're not doing well in 5 years, you're not going to be there.
Yeah, 5 years is a long time.
There's going to be 3 new competitors in 5 years. So I think it's silly to discuss what revenue we're going to be getting from today's customers then.
Sure.
And to claim that this is somehow contributing to our economics.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, well, Nikos, thanks. This has been really cool. Is there anything that you'd like to say before we go? Are you guys hiring right now, or any big things coming up for you in the next few months?
We are hiring all the time. hiring in Boston, we're hiring in London, we're hiring in Athens, of course. Basically, the one thing I'd like to say is, like, congratulations for the tool you've built. I think I was one of the earliest users, and I've seen it evolve. Great work on the product, really useful. I've shown it to a lot of people. I think you're doing something fantastic there.
Great. No, thanks. That's kind words. Cool. So I'll let you get on with your day now. But thanks a lot for joining me on this. I think there's some really useful stuff in here. So
thanks for your time. I really enjoyed this.
All right. Cheers, Nikos.